The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Dr. Allison Bradley. Allison is the audiologist and owner of Pacific Audiology. And also with us today is Dr. Lindsay Hill, a clinical audiologist also with Pacific Audiology. Hey, ladies, welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So, Allison, let's get started with you. I've had you on the show a couple of times before. Tell me about your practice.
Well, I own Pacific Audiology Clinic, and we are a practice in Portland, one in Northeast Portland and one in South Portland. So two clinics. We have five audiologists there, and we offer a bunch of services ranging from hearing testing, hearing aid evaluations, hearing aid fittings, and now newly cochlear implants.
So Allison, tell me about some of the services that Pacific Audiology offers.
So we offer many services as a private practice clinic. We do hearing testing so we can evaluate any sort of hearing loss that people have. We do hearing aid evaluation. So if you do have a hearing loss, we want to evaluate that to see how we can help, whether it's a hearing aid or some other something else.
Yeah.
We also do custom plugs. We do hearing aid repairs. We talk to people about tinnitus or ringing in the ears. And the newest service that we offer is cochlear implants.
And that's where Dr. Lindsay Hill comes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of the cochlear implant specialist.
Yes.
Tell me about that. What's a cochlear implant?
So a cochlear implant's a surgically placed electrode array that sits down in the inner ear on top of those hair cells in the cochlea that pick up sound and help us hear. For people with hearing loss, those hair cells are often damaged, and so the cochlear implant replaces those damaged hair cells and helps the signal pass along to the brain.
It replaces?
Yeah, it goes right over it, and it stimulates the roots of the hair cells, which is what gets the signal from the ear to the nerve to the brain.
That sounds like some amazing technology.
Yeah, I didn't do it. I just helped program it.
But you've studied it, right?
Yes,
all about it. So tell me, what does a cochlear implant look like? Because a regular hearing aid can be pretty invisible.
Yeah, so there's two parts of the cochlear implant system. There's the internal electrode array, which is fully implanted under the skin and visible once it's done and the surgery is complete. And then there's the external processor, which is the microphones and the battery and the computer processor. And that can look like a little disc about the size of a half dollar, but a little bit thicker, like maybe a quarter of an inch to a half an inch, or a different type of cochlear implant processor looks like a bigger hearing aid with a magnet on the outside that connects to the inside.
So probably some of our listeners have seen people that have these, right?
They're probably,
kind of visible,
yeah,
on the head.
Mm-hmm, right? Yeah, it's usually about an inch up and back from the ear. There's a little hearing apparatus, a little processor, yeah.
What's that experience like for people who decide to go that way instead of a hearing aid, or are they two completely different systems?
So cochlear implants are for people where hearing aids are no longer appropriate for them. Okay. So they should have tried hearing aids, made sure the hearing aids are programmed well for them, and still struggle and still suffer from communication issues and their quality of life's going down. And that's when we say, okay, hearing aids aren't cutting it. The next step is looking at a cochlear implant. It's for more severe issues.
How much hearing is restored when they switch to a cochlear implant?
So the cochlear implant uses electrical stimulation instead of acoustic sound. Not that it's restoring hearing aid, it's more that it's replicating, kind of giving you a different way of accessing that sound. And it depends on the person and depends on a lot of different factors, including how long they've had hearing loss and how the surgery went and how the programming goes. But generally speaking, people can have a cochlear implant and pick up the phone and have a conversation, or they can communicate with loved ones and go to a restaurant and hear a lot better than they were prior to that.
Who's a good candidate for a cochlear implant?
Somebody who's tried hearing aids and the hearing aids are working, just not working well for them, and they have hearing loss that is sensory neural, meaning it's not because they don't have an eardrum or not because of a conductive component, and that they are committed to the cochlear implant process. So it involves follow-up appointments, it involves committing to wearing the device, and having tried hearing aids and finding them not to be sufficient.
At what point do you kind of realize that maybe you do need to go that route?
I would say if someone's struggling with communication and they've had a recent hearing test and they've gone to their audiologist and the audiologist has programmed these hearing aids and said, yeah, they're working as well as they should be and they're still struggling even one-on-one or in low noise situations, the cochlear implant could be a really good option for them.
What's the process like from start to finish?
So first would be, again, just having that hearing test and making sure hearing aids are working appropriately. A broken hearing aid is a lot easier to fix than the process of getting a cochlear implant. Then coming in and meeting with a cochlear implant audiologist like me, and I would do some background, get a good case history to see how people are struggling, talk about the cochlear implant, and then do testing both with a hearing aid and without a hearing aid to see that if a patient is wearing a well-fit device, are they doing okay? Is it enough? Or are they struggling enough where a cochlear implant would be a good option? Then they'd go and see a surgeon who would do a medical evaluation to see if they're a good medical candidate for a cochlear implant.
Let's talk about the implant surgery. What is that like and who performs that?
So cochlear implant surgery is done by a physician. Often it is an ENT, ear, nose, and throat physician, who's had specialized training in cochlear implants. Sometimes it might be a neurootologist, who is an ear-specific physician who studies the ear and the skull-based area. And other times it could be a more general ENT who's had advanced training. So it's a two-hour, about outpatient surgery done with general anesthesia, and patients generally will go home that same day. Okay. And it involves an incision behind the ear and then some drilling to get to the part where the implant goes, and then they put the implant in and patch it all up.
So not super invasive?
No, it's not. It's not brain surgery. It's much less invasive than a lot of other surgeries out there, but it's still surgery, right? The risks include infection because there's a hole made in your body. Sometimes people who have the surgery might have some lingering dizziness afterwards because of the interaction with the inner ear, but generally low risk of the surgery.
Does the implant start working immediately?
No. So after the surgery, it takes a couple weeks for you to heal. During that healing process, people usually can do most of their daily activities. They just recommend no heavy lifting, no blowing your nose, but otherwise people can drive and work and talk and function. And then usually 2 or 3 weeks afterwards, they do a post-op appointment to make sure everything's healing well. And then they come into the audiologist and we turn the cochlear implant on and program it for their needs and program it according to how they're perceiving that stimulation. And that's the first day they hear, a few weeks after surgery.
Wow.
The implant doesn't do anything itself without the outside piece attached.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do they continue to wear hearing aids until the implant is activated?
They can wear a hearing aid on the other ear that didn't have the surgery, but the act of having surgery with packing material and all that from the healing of surgery, there's no benefit of wearing a hearing aid in the ear that was implanted on.
Now, does a cochlear implant kind of restore normal hearing?
So it doesn't make hearing normal again. The way I talk about it with patients is a human ear, when it's working perfectly, has about 20,000 hair cells that help pick up sounds and give you frequency discrimination so you can hear all the richness of the environment. A cochlear implant has 22 electrodes. So 22 electrodes are recreating 20,000 hair cells. And obviously, that's a vastly different sound.
Yeah.
And I'll often tell people cochlear implants can give you really good clarity of sound, but not necessarily the quality of sound. So people will hear, but it will sound digital or Mickey Mouse or robotic. I've heard all sorts of descriptions, Darth Vader, Donald Duck, etc. And over time, with continued use, our brains acclimate and it sounds more natural.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's funny that they perceive of hearing kind of characters.
Yeah. And as technology gets better, it's getting better as we are able to get better examples of what people are hearing. But yeah, it's kind of funny the descriptions people have given me. It's all over the board. I've heard it all.
Yeah. We're talking today with Dr. Lindsay Hill, clinical audiologist and a cochlear implant specialist with Pacific Audiology. Dr. Hill, do you have any success stories? Tell me a good success story.
So what I think about as success is it's all about improving quality of life. And so often when people have gotten to the cochlear implant stage, they are withdrawing from social interactions. They are the person who says, you know what, there's a party or going out to dinner. I'm going to stay home or I'm just going to sit in the corner and be quiet because I can't communicate. And one of my earlier patients was a gentleman who didn't interact. He didn't interact during the appointment. He didn't interact with his family. He was very much a shell. And then we were able to get him a cochlear implant and get him hearing better and get him access to sound. And all of a sudden, he's talking again. He's part of the conversation. He's able to be showing his personality again. And so anytime we can take people away from that shutting into themselves and bringing them back into the conversation and able to enjoy social environments is the reason that we do this, right? It's the reason that we're in audiology to help improve quality of life. True. So it's always nice to see it.
Yeah. What led you to be a cochlear implant specialist?
I worked in a retirement home in high school, and I saw lots of people in a challenging listening situation in the dining room of a retirement home struggling to hear. And I wanted to be able to help them get their communication skills better, be able to communicate. And then as I was learning about audiology and I learned about cochlear implants specifically, the combination of the people-facing aspect of it, being able to work with people and counsel and help them, and then the technology side of it, being able to program something and fine-tune it and troubleshoot, really appealed to me, being able to put the two together to help people.
And what brought you to Pacific Audiology?
Well, I...
Besides the fact that Dr. Allison Bradley is so awesome.
That helped.
Thank you.
I've been in Oregon for about 12 years, and I've been in Portland for about a decade. And I wanted to be in an area where I was able to help patients more directly and be able to have a bigger role, I guess, in their healing process and in their rehabilitation process. So I joined Pacific Audiology a couple months ago, and it's been great. It's been really beneficial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This may be kind of a silly question on my behalf because I know nothing about this, but does a cochlear implant work on somebody who's deaf?
Yeah. So it depends on the cause of their deafness and how long they've been deaf. So if someone was born with no hearing whatsoever and they have a hearing nerve and they have the correct anatomy for a cochlear implant, then they could benefit from a cochlear implant. Children are implanted constantly, frequently, yeah. And they can be implanted down to 5-6 months of age, and they start developing access to sound and verbal communication, and they can be just like you and me really quickly with access to that. If you were born deaf and then you're looking to get a cochlear implant when you're 60, it's going to be a much more challenging rehabilitative process just because your brain's not used to hearing.
Yeah. Have you worked with kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not as much at this position, but in my previous job, we had pediatric patients where we'd implant down to 9, 12 months of age. And it's really great seeing them being able to hear sound. And my favorite is I had a little girl who had a younger sibling, and she would tell me how when he cries, she gets really mad and she takes off her processor so she can't hear him anymore. And it was kind of a nice little benefit, perhaps, of a cochlear implant is the mute function.
That's great. I love seeing those videos. I've seen several on TV shows or YouTube or something where a little kid is hearing for the first time, and it's just like magic.
Knowing the how fickle children can be, I found more often it was temper tantrums and being afraid or being frustrated by sound than the happy, golden Oprah moments. But whenever those would come about, it's really nice.
Yeah. What's the follow-up care like for having an implant?
So after the surgery and after the activation appointment, which is, again, a couple weeks after surgery, I would see people back about 6 times in the first year of having the cochlear implant. More in the beginning as they're learning what to do, and then follow-up visits every branching out to every few months. After things are said and done, people wear the cochlear implant all waking hours, the processor. They come back and see an audiologist once or twice a year. And all they have to do at home is charge batteries and simple cleaning, pretty similar to a hearing aid.
Yeah. So they don't wear them at night?
Correct. You take them off to sleep. You can wear them at night, I suppose, just like you can wear a hearing aid, but it's generally more comfortable not to.
Yeah. How long does an implant last?
Implants are for life, just like a knee replacement or a pacemaker. When you have them in, you're expecting to keep it in there. Just like with those other types of implants, things go wrong sometimes and they need to be revised, but it's easy enough and it's not as invasive as the initial surgery. And what I tell people is cochlear implants have been around since the 80s, so we don't have a 50-year-old cochlear implant and we don't know what happens at year 50 or 60 or 70. If someone's having a cochlear implant as an infant, chances are in their life there might be new technology that they might replace it. If someone's getting it at the age of 50, 60, 70, pretty much it's there and we're not going to do much with it. The outside piece, just like a hearing aid, you can replace it every 5 years or so.
That's interesting that they've been around since the 80s, and so, gosh, you don't know what the 50-year run is.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What's the thought? What's going to happen?
So I will say the cochlear implants that were implanted earlier for the first 10 years or so, they require more battery power to run. And so some people are starting to replace those because they can get more energy efficient and better battery use with newer ones. Otherwise, there's always rumblings of fully internal cochlear implants. So it might be a rechargeable piece that you can just pop on there to charge the battery at night, and a fully implanted microphone. We don't have that. I don't think it's coming anytime soon, but it may happen at some point, and people would probably love to not have anything on their head at all.
Yeah, I bet. If somebody gets a cochlear implant and then they decide, no, it's not right for me, can you go back to hearing aids or...
So the act of having a cochlear implant placed in the inner ear often will negatively impact the residual hearing, the natural hearing. So that's why we don't do it until we've kind of tried better hearing aids and tried other options. So chances are once you have a cochlear implant on that side, you can choose not to use it, but it's not that you can take it out and put the hearing back the way it was. It's a done type of deal.
Okay.
You can just not put the processor on your head and then you're not getting any of the sound from it. There is still an implant in your head, which usually doesn't get removed unless there's some reason for it.
Okay. And is it covered by insurance?
Most of the time, yes. So part of the evaluation appointment is to verify that someone's hearing loss is going to meet insurance criteria for a cochlear implant. And that would be something I would tell people that day, if we are meeting insurance criteria or not.
Yeah, it seems like it might be kind of an expensive process.
Yeah, like $90,000.
Oh, no bad. Pocket change.
Yeah. Most insurances will cover it pretty well. And if there's a secondary insurance like Medicare and a secondary, usually it's covering almost all of it. Private insurance, there's a little more variability, but often people will know what to expect getting into it.
If somebody's interested in an implant, can they come to Pacific Audiology for an evaluation?
Absolutely.
They come
can.
See you.
Yeah. I'd love to see them. Yeah. It's useful being able to, just chat with people and let them know what their options are and make sure they're hearing the best they can.
Yeah. Let me introduce once again Dr. Allison Bradley, owner of Pacific Audiology and an audiologist herself.
Yes.
We're talking about cochlear implants that have been around since the 80s, and hearing aids have been around for quite some time, right?
Quite some time, a lot longer than that.
And so how has technology changed in hearing aids?
From 25 years ago when I started, technology has changed quite a bit. They used to be analog hearing aids, which were kind of these big beige bananas and very boomy, right? Very loud. And now they've digitized them. So they're digital hearing aids that have rechargeability, have Bluetooth options. So they have become a lot... The sound has become more crisp, more clear, right? More understandable. And they work with cell phones, and we've talked about that before. You know, they've got a lot more technology in them to fit into people's lifestyles and for what they need.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think you and I have talked about my sister, who just recently, the last couple of years, got hearing aids, and they're Bluetooth to her phone. And she's like one of those people that walk around with their earbuds in and talking randomly. It's like, who are you talking to?
Right.
And she does that and you can't see her.
Right, right. Exactly.
So they've become much more...
They've become smaller and just more technologically advanced as far as what they're doing, you know, and how they're processing the sound and how they're helping process out that noise. So...
Yeah. And just kind of makes you feel a little self-conscious about wearing them?
I'm think there's a stigma. There's been a stigma for a long time as far as wearing something outside of your ear to show that you can't hear. I think that that stigma has gone down. I don't think it's gone away. There are those patients that come into our office that still don't want anybody to know that they have a hearing loss. When in all actuality, I'm sure people probably know because they're probably saying what or huh. But some people don't want it to show, right? Especially people that are in the business world. Maybe they feel like if somebody saw that they had a hearing aid, that that might age them out or make them be not as competitive, if you will, than maybe a younger counterpart. So there's definitely still some of that, but it's improving every day.
If somebody may be experiencing hearing loss and they're not quite sure if they are or not, what are some signs?
Oh, that's a great question. So if you're not sure, I mean, if you see somebody or you know somebody, maybe they're isolating themselves, as Lindsay had said, right? Maybe they are saying what or huh. Maybe they're asking people to just repeat in general. So those are some signs of maybe they're not hearing well. Maybe they're turning the TV up too loud. Maybe they're choosing to not go out to a restaurant because they're not hearing very well. Yeah.
I bet a loved one can contribute to helping that decision too, right?
For sure. We see a lot of patients that come into our office on their own because they're not hearing very well. But there are also people that are encouraged by their spouse or maybe their children if they're not hearing very well to kind of go get it checked just to get a baseline.
Yeah.
Everybody loses their hearing as they age. So it's always a good thing to do to come in and get your hearing tested to at least get a baseline and see where things are at to determine if you're having a functional impairment or if you need further help or if we just kind of monitor it.
Yeah. And I see on your website, too, you have a hearing aid screener. Tell me about that.
We do have a hearing aid screener on our website. It's kind of there's some questions on there that will they'll ask you a bunch of questions. Are you saying what or huh a lot? Are you having trouble in this situation or that situation? And if you answer so many of those questions as a yes, then the next step is to go in and get a test. Because at the end of the day, you can answer yes or no to whatever questions you want, but we want to test you and put you in a booth and put some, you know, insert headphones on and really test and see kind of where you're at the different frequencies.
Yeah, what is that screening, in-office screening and testing like? What do you do?
So the complete audiologic assessment, when you come into the office, you'll come in, we will take a peek in your ears, make sure you don't have any wax in there, and then we will sit down and take a medical history, see kind of if you have any ringing in your ears, if you have any noise exposure history, family history of hearing loss, those types of things, anything that might contribute to possible loss that we find. And then we'll do a hearing test. We'll have you press the button, really, or raise your hand, if you will, if you hear sounds at different frequencies. And then we'll do some speech testing. And then we'll do a tympanogram because we want to see how your eardrum is moving on the inside. And then we'll go over the results together and determine how we go from where we go from there.
Okay. Talk to me, too, a little bit about tinnitus. What is that?
So that's ringing in the ears. Some people have that. Some people will have that due to noise exposure. Some people don't necessarily have a determining factor of why that happened. It just started. And then other people have that accompanied with their hearing loss.
Okay.
So when they come in, we kind of talk to them about that and certain things that kind of can exacerbate and make that ringing worse. And so the first thing we like to do when we find somebody that has ringing in the ears is we want to test their hearing to see if there is any hearing loss associated with that. And then we talk about different options for that.
What's the best way for somebody to make an appointment or come in to see you?
You can either call us or you can email us. You can call us and just say, I need to get a hearing test appointment. We do also get a lot of outreach through our website. So you can also email us on our website and one of my office staff will reach out and we'll set up that audiologic assessment appointment. It's about an hour appointment where we have you come in and do the testing and then go over the results with you.
What's your website address?
Website address is www.pacoregon.com. So PACOREGON.com.
And just a quick search for Pacific Audiology would find you too.
Pacific Audiology Clinic, right? Okay. You want to make sure you get to the right place.
Okay.
I think there's a couple other places that have names that are close, but Pacific Audiology Clinic, if you do that search, you'll find us.
Okay, great. This has been great information today. Thanks, you guys, for coming in.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, yeah.
We've been talking today with Dr. Allison Bradley, audiologist and owner of Pacific Audiology Clinic, and Dr. Lindsay Hill, also a clinical audiologist and cochlear implant specialist. Excellent, thanks.
You're welcome.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, Just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.